At a talk about the new book at the downtown library, Hayes says she agreed to do this project for a couple reasons. The first,
I had no idea what I was getting into.
Hayes says conforming to Arcadia Publishing's strict formulaic guidelines, word counts, and finding the right high-resolution photographs was challenging.
With my other books, I just sat down and wrote, and then I revised and revised and revised, and I thought that was a lot of work, but I didn't know anything.
After the talk, I joined Hayes in her office at the University of Alaska Southeast. She says the second reason she chose to do the project was more proactive.
Just as we have to be together going into the future, we have been together from the past, at least from contact forward. We've been together. And the history of Alaska is too often presented as a whole bunch of prehistory and then Russians came. Right. And then it started to be history. And I've seen too much of that, and I didn't want that to happen again. And that's why I accepted the project.
While the book illustrates Alaska Native life in what is now Juneau and colonial attitudes that were present, Hayes says she does not focus on this. In fact, many of the pictures and much of the written history are from Russian and U.S. history forward.
But I did put in one of the chapters and made it clear in other of the captions and comments and discussion that, you know, I acknowledge the history of the original people that have been here since time immemorial and do it as though it's an unremarkable fact. Which it is. It's just something we should all know.
Speaking of knowledge, Hayes says the most rewarding part of the project was learning.
Even though I'd played in the mine when I was a girl and run up and down the stairs at the AJ and explored tunnels and trestles all over Mount Juneau and Mount Roberts, I didn't really know about the history and the people who were part of that, all those mining efforts. And so learning about that history was rewarding for me. I learned a lot about Juneau.
Hayes writes about being a little girl in Juneau in another book of hers, the 2006 American Book Award-winning memoir, Blonde Indian, perhaps her best-known work. When I ask if that's the work she's most proud of, I'm surprised when she mentions an essay titled Winter in Lingitani Brings Magpies and Ravens. Here she reads from the piece.
My grandmother instructed me about spiders. Don't hurt them, she warned. Learn from them. Watch them. Learn.
When I ask her what to listen for in the piece, she says pay attention to the metaphors.
I think that's the indigenous understanding, is not so much being able to see the connections or being able to appreciate or experience the natural world, but it's being able to recognize all those metaphors. Spiders greet the world early. They wake and get busy early in the day and early in the spring.
It's not uncommon for Hayes to speak of metaphors and similes. She teaches a full load of composition and creative writing courses at the university. Student Richard Radford has taken several courses from Hayes.
Oh, I've really enjoyed all the classes and everything I've done with her in projects. She's really, really talented. She's a really gifted writer and a very gifted reader and a very gifted editor. I would say that she's the most talented that I've ever worked with.
With the holiday break coming up, Hayes is excited about some free time to work on a fictional extension of the character Old Tom in Blonde Indian, and a contemplative memoir called The Tao of Raven that retells one of the Raven stories from a different perspective. And for those of you who are excited for more prose from Hayes, look in the new book Juneau. Even in the captions and short narratives, one can hear Hayes's literary voice.
Is to wake before the ravens. Rising before the spiders behooves us even more.
For K2, I'm Scott Burton.
The industry of spiders exemplifies right living.